Welcome back to Copper Country Today. I'm your host, Rick Yellen. And during this segment, we're going to be talking about an organization that I had not had a chance to learn much about up till now. So this is exciting for me. And I am joined in studio right now by the chairperson of the Copper Country Italianos, Debbie Mann. Welcome to Copper Country Today.
Thank you, Rick. Thank you for having me.
And we're going to be talking about both the influence and the presence of Italians in the Copper Country. Of course, we certainly are an example of a melting pot here. Of course, the Finnish culture is a very dominant culture now, but wasn't always that way. And other ethnic groups have played very large parts in the development of our area here. Italians were among those. And you've had some history with as far as talking about this subject and, both creating awareness and carrying the torch so that, the contributions of Italians in the Copper Country can get highlighted.
Thank you. Thank you for doing that. That's important to us as a nation or as Italian Americans to know that our history is not forgotten, especially in this area.
We're also going to be touching on an event you have coming up, Festa Italiana, and you're going to give us all the details because I have very little so far on this. So again, as I said, it's always exciting when I have a topic that I don't know a whole lot, because then I sit here and learn as much as people in the audience do about these new things. So let's just start with Italians in the Copper Country. When did it all begin?
Well, Italy actually didn't become a nation itself until the 1860s, and there was a lot of provincial discourse between the north and the south. So there is this animosity that continued between Sicily and the northern part of Italy. A lot of the Italians that came to the Copper Country came to this area to find a better life. And many of them came with the premise that they were going to work in the mines. Some of the Italians that came, usually it was the men that came first, they would come and work in the mines for a period of time, and then they would go back to Italy and recruit their relatives. So there was kind of this continual migration of Italians coming to the area. The majority of the Italians that came to the Copper Country were from northern Italy, from two provinces, mostly from Tuscany and from Piemonte. And that is the influence of the culture, the Italian culture here is the northern Italian. The southern Italians came to other areas like the Marquette area. So Marquette has a festival, it's very different than what our festival is. The foods can sometimes be very different, and the things that they do are different as well. So this is a chance for the northern Italians to express some of their traditions and culture through this festival. The Italians that came to the Copper Country started out working in the mines, and then once their families came over, there was a lot of push for them to get out of the mines. The Italians were considered low-class citizens in the area, much like the Finns, because they had some difficulty speaking the English language, as opposed to the English that came from Cornwall. So the Italians and the Finns were often looked upon as inferior beings, and that was quite normal for the time. Many of the Italians moved out of the mines and became grocers and bar owners and did other things above ground instead of working in the mines. That was their culture. Then also restaurants as well. At the time, there were several Italian restaurants and grocers working in the area, including the Campioni's. Their history is long in this area. Lazzari's. There are quite a long history in the area with grocers and food preparers.
But what time period did that change start to take place?
Around the time most of the families came in the 1890s, 1900s, 1910, around that area when the families actually came. My family personally came, I think it was 1912. And the majority, during the time of the strike, there was a real impetus to get, to change from mining. Many of the Italians also left from this area and went down to the Detroit area with the Ford Motor Company at that time. So there was a lot of changes going on. And then, of course, with the strike and the mines closing, it really did affect the area quite a bit. Personally, my family, my grandfather, his father worked in the mines. and died at a very young age, leaving a family of six children. Widow was with six children, and he had to quit school at age of 14 and become the breadwinner of the family. And he ended up working for the Houghton County Road Commission at age 14. Then, after a period of time in the 1940s, they opened up a restaurant, also another Italian restaurant in the area. It was on M203 with a French name called The Rendezvous. So kind of a rendezvous means meeting place. So it was their way to, again, influence that culture as well.
As we look around, are we going to still see, you know, evidence of that influence of Italian culture in the Copper Country that still stands today?
Yes, actually, we have two fantastic restaurants in downtown Hancock. We have Gino's and Gimignani's. Gimignani's is one of our participants in the Copper Country Festa Italiana. Perhaps Gino's may join us this year. Many of the Italians that didn't leave the area with their names. Many have married to other nationalities. A lot of the women, therefore, have lost their Italian names. Many of those did not have the opportunity at that time to hyphenate their names to include the Italian portion. It wasn't really acceptable to do that. In this day and age, you can do that, so you can have evidence of your heritage. But there are many who married outside of the Italian nationality, and that's just part of nature.
And as far as landmarks go, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, but it seems fairly obvious, but up in Calumet there's a monument, the Italian Hall disaster. It was at the Italian Hall that incident took place in 1913, and without a presence of Italians in the Copper Country, it probably would have been called something else.
Yes, you're absolutely right, Rick. I neglected to mention that. There were many Italians. Actually, one of the major contributors to immigration to the area was, his name is Lisa. He was a consigliere. He brought people into the area to help work in the mines. And there is a huge component of the Italian nationality in Calumet at that time. Every nationality had their own mutual society, which took care of their miners. And the Italian Hall was a mutually beneficial society, and that was where they held their meetings. And every culture had their own bars, their own grocers, their own mutually beneficial societies to help look after their families. So there was a place where you could go and speak the Italian language and not be chided. So the Italian Hall, it's very interesting, the fact that the incident with the Italian Hall, it actually was more other cultures, more Croatian and Finnish children who died in that incident, but the party was held at the Italian Hall.
Mm. Oh, with the history here, there was, as you kind of said, sort of a lot of community closeness, based on ethnicity, different factions and groups, and you can see evidence of that all over the place when you look around here in the Copper Country. And then it seemed like after the decline of the mining era, things started to get more convoluted. And we're seeing lately a resurgence sort of people wanting to re-identify themselves with their cultural roots. The Celtic society and the Cornish, of course, the Finnish are, been doing that for many, many years. But the other ethnic groups, and this one here as well with the Italians, to recapture a little bit of that individualism, former nationalism from, that connects you back with the European world. Seeing that come back.
Right. Funny you should mention that, because the impetus for this whole event happened at FinFest. There were several of us that were at the opening banquet that was hosted by the city of Hancock. And we were standing around, and I said, I don't know why I'm here, really. I'm not Finnish. And someone else said, I'm not Finnish, I'm Italian. And I said, I am too. So there were five of us standing there, and we all had Italian heritage. And it was kind of an enlightening moment. We just said, well, why don't we do something like this? And of course, you know, it was the national event at that time, and it was much bigger than anything that we had any intention of doing. But we just figured that it was a great opportunity to experience our heritage. I don't know if it had ever been done in the past, but this is actually our second year this year.
Talking right now with Debbie Mann. She's part of the Copper Country Italianos, and they have their event coming up, which is the Festa Italiana, and that is Saturday, August 8th. I'm Cornish, so I just had my festival in Pasti Fest, but I also am a big lover of Italian food, so I can't wait for this. Tell us what your event's going to be like.
We are going to have on Saturday, August the 8th, we are starting at 3:00 in the afternoon with a bocce tournament. The bocce tournament that we did last year was a single elimination, and it went very quickly. So this year we've decided to do a double elimination with 10 teams maximum, so that people who come to the festival to enjoy the food can also see one of the national games that Italians play, the bocce ball. We'll award our trophy later on during the afternoon. The food venues that we have will start at 4:00, and we will have many different food providers. Would you like me to list those providers?
Well, where is this taking place?
Oh, I'm sorry. Yes, that's going to be occurring at the Houghton County Arena. Admission is $5 to help offset the cost of the rental of the arena and the licenses and insurance and things that we have to provide. So $5 admission, and then food vendors will be selling their foods at very low prices. Basically, the whole idea is for you to sample some different foods from the different areas, different area vendors.
Well, you mentioned Geminiani's. What other vendors do you have?
We have Geminiani's is going to be preparing spaghetti and meatballs and sauce with their historic Rudy's spices. Annette Monticella Tachita will be doing their homemade Italian sausage with peppers and onions and sauce. Fifth and Elm will be preparing a caprese paninis. Mm. My mouth is watering thinking about this. The Miskawabic will be preparing chicken cacciatore. Carmelita's will be doing chicken Alfredo. The Sheldon Grill will be providing tiramisu, and Daughters of Italy, which is a group that is still maintaining our historic culture and traditions, and they do scholarships. They will be making ravioli this year and also homemade biscotti. So quite a nice choice. As I said, all of the vendors will be charging a small amount for each, and then you can try different samples of different things. That's at least our menu for the time being. We'll see if we can add anybody else between now and August the 8th.
And Daughters of Italy, I'm familiar with because they've been at the Multicultural Festival in the past that takes place right after the Parade of Nations. They do great work, so I'm looking forward to, you know, what they have to offer there as well. Not all those names sounded very Italian, though. I don't know, Carmelita's.
Oh, right. Well, Carmelita's actually caters any different food, so and they do enjoy... as you said, it's not necessarily caramel. It's like the Italian people. I mean, our names have changed, but they do provide, they can cater any culture food.
Okay. And you want everybody to come anyways.
No Absolutely.
Matter what you're, come and enjoy this.
Absolutely. You don't have to be Italian to come and enjoy a good time.
What kind of entertainment will you have going on?
This year we have Jim and Terry Henrietti and several local entertainers as well will be joining them on stage. Jan Arnold will be there. We have several different entertainers who have done Italian music in the past. I don't have that information right in front of me, okay. But it's mostly, they call themselves the world's most dangerous polka and variety band.
Okay.
And last year they did entertain for a period of time. We did have a very varied entertainment schedule last year. We decided to pare that down a bit just to make it more, I don't know what the word would be, but to make it a little bit easier for everybody.
Okay.
And it should be a very fun time. A lot of dancing is involved, and your feet may kill you, but you'll enjoy it.
And the bocce ball tournament, is that taking place in the fairgrounds right there?
Yes, it is. It's in the Ball Diamond right behind the Houghton County Arena. So you can go out at any time and watch. You know, I imagine there will probably be quite a few people watching the finale, the final game for the championship. We did give a trophy last year. Last year, the winners were the Monte Carlo. And there's been a lot of smack talk this year. So they're thinking they're going to get it back. And it is a traveling trophy. So it's quite fun.
It's amazing when you think about the influence, the subtle influences that Italian culture has on our everyday lives. In my shed at home right now is a bocce ball set, which is well used. I mean, we use quite a bit when the family gets out and plays. And for those who don't know, that's also called lawn bowling.
Lawn bowling.
Yeah, but you know, but don't you dare use that phrase at the Festa Italiana if you want to stick around. But yeah, you know, very fun game that you know everybody can play, and some people can play it better than others.
Right.
So something to enjoy, and you will be familiar with it.
Right, right. Well, in addition to the bocce ball, we also have some very fun competitions. We have a grape stomp, which is worth watching just for the entertainment and the splashing that occurs. We had a spaghetti eating contest, which we will again repeat this year. We're hoping to have a pizza toss. Last year, no one took us up on that offer, but this year we're hoping that we do have someone to try the pizza toss and possibly a cannoli eating contest this year.
Oh, I love cannolis. I love cannolis.
It has a twist, this cannoli eating contest.
Why?
The contestant will be blindfolded, uh-huh. and someone else will be doing it from the back. So it should be quite fun to see. So actually, both will be blindfolded. So it may be a little messy, but should be very fun.
Well, you know, you've got all the makings of a great event. You have music and food and games, entertainment, and... How was attendance your first year?
Actually, attendance was far more than what we thought we were going to get. We thought we would have perhaps 300 people, and I would say we had more than 500 for sure. We ended up running out of food last year at around 3 o'clock. Last year, we started early. It was 11 o'clock, and by 3 o'clock, we were really running low on food. That's why we made some changes this year. We're just focusing on the dinner hour instead of the lunch and dinner hour. Last year, we had people we thought would come for lunch and then leave and then come back for supper, and they came and they stayed, which is a wonderful thing. And the fact that we sold out of food is also a wonderful thing, too. Unfortunate for those who, you know, arrived later, but better than having too much.
Well, and that's a good thing to, you know, let people know. If you did try to go last year and you went there and you missed out on some of that great food, well, this year, okay, they've taken steps to see that doesn't happen. And that's normal for an event that's just getting, you know, sort of off the ground.
Right. It was a big learning curve. Mm-hmm. You know, we're doing the best we can, and we have wonderful volunteers, and it really does, it's a great event.
Now, that's the next question I was going to ask you is, you know, who helps make this happen?
We have many, many volunteers with Italian culture. That are from the Italian heritage. The Daughters of Italy, they assisted last year with the parades and things like that. We had several local women, the Frednellis, that the two women helped quite a bit with the doing the parades as well, walking in the parades. This year we chose not to walk in the parades this year. But just anybody who wants to help can help. Yeah. It's a great time.
But it's become much larger than you and your other friend that looked at each other at FinFest and said, hey, we're both Italian, let's do something.
Yes, yes. And to tell you the truth, I thought about not doing it this year, but many people came up to me and said, oh, I can hardly wait for Italian Fest. When is it going to be? And so we decided that we would go ahead with it again.
Well, if somebody wants to get involved and help you out, give you a break every now and then, how do they do that?
They can call me. I would be happy to field their call. I do have a cell phone, and it is from my number from Appleton. So it is, should I go ahead and give you that number? Okay. It is 920-285-4402. I'm going to say that again. It's 920-285-4402.
Do you have any presence online where people can look stuff up?
Oh, yes, yes. We do have Copper Country Festa Italiana is on Facebook. And also we have a web page link through Facebook page. It's a rather long link. It was a free website that we created. Sure. And it's you can just click on that website and it'll take you right there.
Besides this particular event that you're now holding, is you can call it an annual event now. It's your second year having it. What other things that, you know, if you were volunteering, you were part of Festo Italianos that you would, could be doing?
Oh, there's plenty to be done. We are going to be decorating the arena on Friday, the Friday prior. We do need some assistance with making sure that the arena is in good shape as we're going along in the event, you know, removing garbage, helping with recycling, etc. There's lots of little jobs that anybody could participate in. We'll find a place for you to work if you come.
Now, if you're not doing parades, do you take part in anything else throughout the rest of the year?
We have not done anything else the rest of the year. We were hoping with the funds to possibly get a bocce ball court put in at the arena. We financially were not quite there yet, but that was one of the things that we thought we would contribute to the community eventually.
You know, I'm curious, when you had your event, your inaugural event last year, and you're bringing out, you know, all the Italians out of the woodwork to come to this big event, and they came up to you. What did they express as far as, you know, that you've sort of revived an event like this for Italians?
Everyone enjoyed it thoroughly, and many people were still talking about it. So it was a great event, a great chance to just get together. There are some groups that still get together. There's something called the Skinny Club, and there's the Christopher Columbus Club in Calumet, and then also the Daughters of Italy. And they are they do hold meetings usually once a month or whatever, and they do different community things through their groups as well. This is a chance for you know, mama or papa or whoever to come and just enjoy a good time and to enjoy the culture, the music, the food, just the camaraderie and having people together. We tried to decorate in a way that it looks like you're in a little Italian cafe. One of the things we also did is we had photo props for photo opportunities, and you'd be surprised who took their photos with the photo props. It was quite fun. So it's a very enjoyable event.
Do you find yourself, besides the volunteers, in need of anything else, though, to get ready?
No, not necessarily. I think we're doing pretty well on time. We're praying that the liquor license and insurance and everything goes through properly on time so that we can enjoy some appropriate beverages as well. We do serve beer and wine at the event. It is still a very family-friendly event. We're not pushing that, but we do have a very family-friendly time. Last year, we also had games for children and different events for children as well.
We got about 2 minutes. I want to make sure we got everything on your list. Is there anything else you needed to cover?
No, just to refresh that it's Saturday, August the 8th, and that we're going to be starting with the doors opening at 3 o'clock for the bocce tournament. Registration is actually at 2:30 for that tournament. We already have our teams pre-registered, maximum of 10 teams, but you'll be able to enjoy that. And then food service will be from 4 o'clock. The event ends at 9 o'clock, and entertainment will be provided, and it is $5 at the door.
Now, you mentioned the grape stomping contest.
Yes.
All right, so you register for that while you're there as well?
At the festival, yes, at the festival when you're there. Right. Yes, and we're judging this year, instead of on the amount of juice or the amount of vino that you made out of the grape stomp, we're going to be judging on technique. So it gives a whole different slant, and we're going to have some audience participation in the technique judging.
Right. Now, the wine you're serving doesn't have anything to do with the grape stomp contest,
right? Nothing to do with the grape stomp. Thank you for clarifying that. It has nothing to do with that. No.
That's good. All right. Well, looking ahead into the future, I know you're kind of consumed with this event coming up, but what would you like to see this become over the next several years? I mean, even if you're, if it comes time where you can just go and enjoy it or volunteer,
that
and somebody
would be
else
wonderful.
Steps in. But as far as the festival, how would you like to see it, you know, 5-10 years from now?
Well, I definitely like to see more youth picking up and recall it. Well, that's the problem, is we've lost many of our older Italians this year. Many have passed away that can relate the culture that of the time period when, you know, from the early 1900s. Many are gone now. And it's really up to us and to our children and grandchildren to continue that history and to enjoy that tradition and legacy. So I'm hoping that that will continue to occur. Maybe not on this scale, maybe something different, but at least to be able to express that heritage.
Well said. My guest has been Debbie Mann. She is the chairperson of the Copper Country Italianos. Their Festa Italiana is coming up Saturday, August 8th. I hope you go. I will be there. It sounds like a tremendous amount of fun. Debbie, thank you for coming on the show.
Thank you for having me, Rick. I appreciate it.
Copper Country Today, we'll be right back.